You're listening to the Looking Glass Radio Hour here at Asheville FM, WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. Today I am flying solo. Gary is out being a racial justice advocate in the state of North Carolina, and we're very proud of that here at Asheville FM. But in the meantime, I'm joined in the studio by Shane Parrish of Alushatistas, also a solo artist from right here in Asheville. This is part of our coverage leading up to the Hopscotch Music Festival in Raleigh coming up next weekend, and really glad to have you in the studio. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Thanks so much for sitting down with me.
Yeah, for sure. Glad we could do it.
Me too. It's been a little while. I had both you and Ryan here in the studio. I guess it's been about a year now.
Was it a year ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty cool though. We all like crammed in here and it was fun.
And we jammed a little bit.
Yeah. So what's been going on? What have you been up to? What has the band been up to?
Well, Alushatistas, we just finished the West Coast tour. We were 11 days on the West Coast, and we did 9 Alushatistas shows, and then we did a couple shows where I did a couple solo shows, and Ryan did another collaboration with a clarinetist out there named Beth Fleener, and yeah, that was pretty in and out, you know, 11 days out there, 11 gigs, and then now we're going to do the Hopscotch Festival coming up. And we are looking for a means to push out a record that we've had finished for a number of years called Future Trauma. And that's about it. We're writing some new music, slow but sure. But yeah. and I'm working on too many ideas at once on my own, as well as raising a family. So, and teaching a lot of guitar students here in Asheville.
Yeah. Wow. You're not busy at all.
Yeah. Nope.
Well, so how long have you and Ryan lived in Asheville? How long have you been a band?
Well, I've lived in Asheville since 2001. I moved here in the summer of 2001. So 16 years now, almost exactly. And I started the band Alushatistas in 2002, originally with, a drummer named Mike Horgan, who lives in Asheville now, and a bass player named Dave Marks. And we did one gig at like a punk rock house show kind of situation, and then on South French Broad. And then we, after that, the band evolved into the bassist Derek Petit, who I believe is still active playing gigs around Asheville, and drummer Sean Dale, who's in several local bands. Playing guitar and singing and playing drums, and he was the drummer, and but Derek was the bassist, and that lineup held for about 7 years, I think. No, maybe that's not right. Until about 2008 or 2009, and then Ryan joined the band and replaced Sean when he moved to Raleigh for a while, and so he moved to Asheville to join Alushatistas in like 2008. We met on MySpace.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. So, and then Derek left the band shortly thereafter. We did a record as a trio with him, and then he left the band in 2009, and then Ryan and I forged ahead as a duo. We had already been playing music together as a duo pretty frequently. So, yeah, and then we started recording records and touring. It's just the two of us. Just the two of us. Yeah. So that's kind of the history of the band, sort of.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, whatever you tell, like, that's the history.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
Yeah.
So you have a record that has been in existence for a long time, but is unreleased. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of a mythical thing now. I mean, there's like a lot of buildup. This could be the most buildup for any record ever.
Whoa, yeah. That's a good way to think about it. And that's, I think that's Ryan's take on it too. But we're talking maybe since before Heads Full of Poison, which came out in 2012. So like 2011, it might have been finished. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how does this happen?
Well, this happens because the album, which is by far the most high fidelity record that we've made, was a major studio project that, you know, where the engineer was highly involved in the production, but we kept really odd hours it wasn't without its sort of dysfunction and kind of just like endless, no end in sight to producing it. It was kind of early in our career as a duo, so a lot, we were still on a learning curve, I think, musically, and so we did just a ton of production. I don't know how else to describe it. Massive production on this record. And then, you know, editing that and mixing that took a long time, and there was a lot of back and forth, and there was a lot of sort of hands-off, kind of like Ryan went and lived in West Virginia or something for like 3 months and did all this drum production when the guy moved out of town. And, you know, I had done all my guitar work the previous summer. So this was a long-running production. And you'd think, you know, some things you just produce them and abandon them. You know, I think like, okay, it's not going anywhere. But we still think it's a really beautiful, strong record. And I think we wanted it to get properly released, you know, hopefully by a label that could really support it. And I don't know if that's going to really happen in terms of, so we're now thinking about kind of cobbling together a network of labels that we've worked with in Europe and United States and maybe Japan, and trying to have a group effort to release it so that it gets distributed well, and just, you know, so that it's maybe a collaborative effort, because I think it needs to get out there and be heard. It's been done a while and a lot of work went into it. The reason it stalled was because production, it was actually originally supposed to be released before Heads Full of Poison, which came out in 2012 on Cuneiform Records. And I was in Europe for a 1 month solo tour while Ryan was finishing the record. And then he met me at the end of my solo tour, and we did a 2 month Luchtistas tour. So I was in Europe for 3 months, but the production kind of stalled out, and we missed like deadlines for like the release date. And this was actually kind of almost broke up the band at that point, because I was in like Europe trying to communicate, and communication was shoddy on the production, and we were missing deadlines. I was in talks with the label, and they were like, "What's going on? We paid for this." So it's like a real, like, it was a roller coaster and like very stressful. So it kind of stalled out, but got finished. And at that point, I said, "I'm done with this for now. We're going to produce a lot of these songs again and like other stuff." And that's what became Heads Full of Poison. And I just kind of was like, "We're going to produce this." And in January, you know, after the big long fall tour, we got back, and it was just set this thing up, record it, produce Heads Full of Poison, and release it. And so that's what happened. And so this album kind of just got left on the shelf, you know. And then we just moved on, and we just never really circled back around. We've made very kind of weak attempts to pitch it to people, but haven't really followed through on it. So we're really hoping to get it out there. It does have some of the same songs as Heads Full of Poison. It also has some stuff that's completely unreleased, but the productions on the music are completely different. It's a completely different beast. So it's almost like an electronica album in places. I mean, it's just super hi-fi. So we'll see what happens with that. It's a ways off. We still haven't quite figured out the strategy for releasing it, but it's definitely coming. It'll probably come before our next written new album, brand new album of original material, I imagine. Although,
is that something
not.
That you're also working on?
That's something that's we're also working on, but sort of pretty slow. I've been pretty involved in my solo project of acoustic guitar music the last year and a half or so, since I released the Undertaker Please Drive Slow on the Tzadik Records, and playing shows and touring for that, and kind of developing more solo acoustic guitar music and getting booked doing that. And so that's been, a lot of my attention has been going there. But I kind of feel like I'm working on several things at the same time. So I feel like there's some crossover musically that can happen, because it's easy to get spread thin. It's easy to say yes to everybody and have like a million projects going on. And that's kind of, I want to say yes and get involved. And then I end up being kind of spread thin. And so I'm trying to kind of streamline it. But I realize that any material that I come up with in one department could just be used in the other project also. And there's no, it's not really a, you know, I don't have to do completely different material with every ensemble or collaboration or thing that's going on. I think that's going to help make everything higher quality and then also be realized in different contexts.
Yeah. Well, so that That makes me think that there is stylistically some similarities between what you're doing acoustically and what the band Alicia Tisa's has done. Can you tell us more about your solo act and how you see that being similar and different from the other music that you play?
Well, first of all, it's on acoustic guitar. And I play pretty much exclusively with my fingers on the right hand. It's a lot of finger style music. It initially started out as sort of a free association of all the music I've been interested in, and not really trying to stick to a particular genre, but really allowing sort of all the input that I've absorbed, all the influences, to sort of just express themselves in a real natural way, so that I was able to kind of develop my own voice with those influences. So it's not, as opposed to music that kind of hops genres, you know, that feels very like, oh, I'm you know, going from one genre to the other, and you can really distinctly tell that, almost like you're changing the channel, you know, on the radio. It's, you know, everything kind of blended in a certain way. So a lot of classical guitar influence, a lot of Brazilian guitar and Spanish guitar, jazz guitar and rock, and, you know, noise, drone music, very influenced by John Cage's prepared piano music and African music. It's just really kind of, you know, the full spectrum of what we can listen to now. And that kind of, I think kind of a year and a half, 2 years ago sort of merged into something that felt natural. I think there was a lot of trying going on leading up to that. So this is sort of like the 25th anniversary of like me playing guitar at all, where things kind of congealed in this way that felt natural.
Yeah. Does it bring you a different kind of enjoyment?
I think so. I mean, I really like to collaborate, and I really love the action reaction of bouncing off of other people. And I think I'm probably more creative in that context, because even just having the other nervous system around to kind of bounce off of, there's this sort of, I just feel so inspired. And so I feel like, but when I'm alone, I can kind of zone out in this way. You know, that's possible with only, I think, alone, and really allow things to kind of happen on their own and grow and develop on their own. There's a certain interesting phenomenon recently since I put out the record last year. I started to get some better gigs, which is nice. So for example, Alicia Tisa played Big Ears Festival, but then I also did a solo concert at the Big Ears Festival. And same thing with the Hopscotch Festival. Alicia Tisa plays the Hopscotch Festival, but I'm also doing the solo set at the Hopscotch Festival because, you know, I produced this record for a pretty prestigious label and in some people's minds. And so that kind of has helped me to sort of like, you know, have more performance opportunities, and so super grateful for that support of John Zorn and the Tzadik record label to make that possible for my career and self-employed family business, you know. It's like but it's been interesting to do these gigs, these bigger gigs sometimes, you know. I still do plenty of very small gigs, but it's been interesting to play these bigger gigs, like the Big Ears, or when I did my CD release show in New York, I flew up and played at the Stone by myself. I did a 90-minute concert for a full house, and it was totally insane.
Wow.
And you know, there was like a loneliness I felt, though. This is the point. These are not like humble brags. It was like, you know, I remember being prior to these gigs, I find myself backstage like all alone. And there's this like nervous energy that I don't know. And I'll be doing some stretches or just trying to get myself mentally prepared to entertain like a lot of people with just acoustic guitar. And it's a weird psych out that I'm not entirely used to yet. But it definitely feels like a loneliness. There's no one to bounce off of. There's no like energy, and I think I really do value that kind of friendship and sort of collaboration that happens not just musically, but also, you know, the adventure, you know. And so it's been interesting to have that realization, like, I'm so alone. Oh my goodness. And then like and then stepping out to perform, you know, and then things kind of, it just becomes a real psychodrama in a way. The whole performance feels almost that way too. So there's, I feel like I go through like a whole like peaks and valleys like mentally when I'm up by myself in front of a highly attentive crowd, like larger crowd of people.
Yeah, but that sounds like an intense thing to do. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, it's interesting. But it's also like working in this way where I feel like I was saying, I think I turned a corner on this kind of quarter century mark of playing where I'm like, it just feels natural. I'm not like actually worried. I'm not about messing up or anything like that. You know, I feel like I can just let go. It's and almost enter into a trance and deal with it, you know, the performance that way. So it's been it's been cool sticking with it this long to see like that transition and then just imagining the possibilities down the road.
That's great. It's like you've graduated.
Or yeah.
Like this is your long-term relationship with music and like this is what it looks like at this, you know, phase of life.
Yeah. That's a good way of looking at it. And I'm excited about, you know, the future as far as just musically. I always think in terms of music. I very rarely think in terms of like success, you know, which maybe is a fault. But I'm always, my wife has commented on that. It's like whenever I've talked about, oh, things are going to be so great and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's not, I'm going to be so famous. I'm going to be so, you know, rich, or I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to like, it's just, I'm always thinking about, you know, what's going on musically. And I think she noted that it's always been that way, you know, where I'm always just like get super amped thinking about where the music's headed. But I'm enjoying where it's at too, you know. But
yeah. Well, so I want to talk more about Hopscotch, but would you be interested in playing a song before we do that?
Oh yeah, let's do that. Okay. I forgot about that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you gonna play for us?
I think I'm gonna just go for this tune that I have not really played very much at all because I just transcribed it yesterday. I'm working on a solo album. Acoustic guitar interpretations of the vocal vocalizations, the vocal melodies of John Jacob Niles. And so this is called The Turtle Dove, which I just transcribed from a recording yesterday and have yet to play. Yeah, so this is The Turtle Dove interpreted based on the version by John Jacob Niles. Thank you.
for our listeners, this is the Looking Glass Radio Hour, and I'm joined in the studio by Shane Parrish, who just brought us a very beautiful acoustic tune. Thanks for that. While I have you in the studio, let's talk a little bit about Hopscotch Festival. Have you played the festival before?
Yes. We played it in, I don't remember what year it was. Let me think. 2013, maybe, I think. Yeah. Somewhere between 2011 and 13, we played the Hopscotch Festival before.
All right, that narrows it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's in Raleigh.
Or 14. So, yeah. 14, it's in Raleigh. In I don't there. Know. Somewhere. So at one point we played that festival. Yeah.
Yeah. It happened in the past.
Yep.
And it's an interesting one because I guess it's a little bit like Moog Festival in that it's happening in a city center inside different venues around Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
And you're playing both as Shane Parrish, mm-hmm. solo act, and as Aluchatistas. Mm-hmm. What can folks expect to hear from each of those sets?
Well, Aluchatistas is going to play music from our three duo albums, kind of a mix from that. And really, you know, things have really evolved. I think our show is just continues to become more exciting and more intense and just full of emotional content. And so I think just, and that's something that happens when you preserve a relationship for a long time, I think is, you know, you just become closer musically and it's just become stronger. So they can expect a really intense Aluchatistas show full of, you know, epic melodies and like really like, you know, consuming drone soundscapes and like just kind of brutal shredding, but also just a kind of a pure expression of our love for music and what we get to do together. And then my solo set will be music from the Undertaker Please Drive Slow record. So similar to what I just played, but that was really new. So some of the stuff is more arranged and yeah. So, and hopefully I'll have a few more of the John Jacob Niles tunes ready because I kind of want to record that this month because I want to do a new, I'm just going to self-release that album, hopefully in October or November, digitally onto the internet. Cause I, it'd be nice to share, it sooner than later. Cause I feel underrepresented, digitally since the label is awesome that I'm on, but they don't really do like streaming services. Right. And so I feel dated on like streaming sites and, cause people really have to like buy the CD, you know? And so I'm going to just record these Niles tunes like real soon. But I hope to do at least three or four of them at the show in Hopscotch, if not the whole set. But I have to be realistic because I thought they were going to go quicker. But then to try and notate his singing is kind of the real challenge is getting it rhythmically right. And that takes a while to get one of them done, like maybe like a few hours for over a couple of days.
I walked into the studio and Shane is sitting on our brand new couch with sheet music and a pencil and a guitar, like writing out the different, So I just want our listeners to understand that like you're in process right now.
I'm in process, yeah.
I got to see it.
Yeah, and then that was the first time I performed publicly.
So you wrote it down and then you played it on the radio.
Yeah, that's right.
Just like that.
Just like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when and where, do you know when you're playing?
Oh man, okay. I'm playing solo on Thursday.
Okay.
In a theater, I believe, early in the evening. And then Aluchatistas is playing at Slim's on Friday at 11:30.
Okay, awesome.
I know less about where my set is. I'll have to look at it. But you can just check out the Hopscotch website. They have a really clear calendar and a lot of amazing musical acts. A lot of Asheville bands are going to be there, too.
Yeah, definitely. We're trying to talk to a few of those bands before next weekend.
So. I think Nest Egg's playing and the Tills.
Mm-hmm.
And
Angel Olsen.
And Aunt Sis is playing also.
Yeah.
They're awesome. Have you heard them?
I just heard them a few weeks ago.
I really like
them.
Flight. Yeah.
It's really fun.
They're great.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun. And if people want to hear those digital tunes that are about to exist or look you up, learn more about your music, where can they look?
Well, my website, shaneparrish.com, one R. And then, yeah. Or you could just do, there's a website, it's called Google. And there's another one called YouTube, which I think is owned by Google. and I think you can come across my music, which they say I'm a bluegrass artist on Google.
Wow.
It's pretty wild.
That's interesting.
I don't know if bluegrass musicians would agree with that, nor do I. I don't really subscribe to any genre, so I don't care. It's kind of funny. Aluchtes is a math rock band too, according to a lot of people, so it's fine. Whatever works for people to categorize it.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to catching you at Hopscotch as well as the other Asheville bands. We are, like you said, well represented this year.
Yeah, I'm excited you guys are going to be there.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down. And like I said, I'm really excited to catch your set and the rest of Hopscotch. It will be my first time at the festival.
Oh, cool.
So, but I'll be there on Thursday. So yeah, we'll see you there.
All right, I'll see you there.
Thank you so much for coming in the studio.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.